Lifestyle matters. It's more than money. Welcome to another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR. Faisal away on holidays this week. I'm joined by Andrew Massett. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks, and thanks for having me again. Well, it's, you know, twice in a month so far.
I know. It's making a regular occurrence.
That's two.
Good for you.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. We got a cool show today. We're going to talk about how to care, an option at least, for caring for aging parents. A lot of parents, you and I have both been through this experience personally. A lot of people want to stay at home. How do you do that and not, you know, destroy yourself, wear yourself down emotionally, physically, right? What are some options?
Well, and it's just not about seniors, Dave. This is about, you know, families that are having you know, loved ones that need assistance. And how do we go around dealing with that?
Yeah. We're also going to talk about, there's some new research out, and it's sort of a surprising number of Canadians who are potentially harming their retirements through their financial management choices, or just, in fact, not participating at all because they're afraid or they're uncertain or unconfident of their choice or their choices in investing. And we're going to have our industry regulator on talking about this research. And we need to, again, as industry guys, we need to continue to educate people to help them be confident and make the most out of what they can in their retirement.
Absolutely. And you know what? Not giving anything away, but some of the results that I saw and what's gone on with the industry is just shocking.
It is shocking.
So,
okay. You know, we got a segment one often. We talk about the markets and what's going on. What a wild, this was a really interesting week, I have to tell you. Now, for full disclosure, we're taping this show before market close on Friday because of some commitments we have on Saturday. So by the time you hear this, right, some things could have changed by the end of Friday day. But at the time of us talking, the morning on Friday was astounding to me. The week's setup was interesting. Lots of big stuff. We had a Fed interest rate decision. We had the Bank of Canada speaking. We had a UK vote, right? Federal vote. We had trade talk, like the trade tariffs, right? The next round of tariffs were coming up on Sunday.
And trade talk all week. It wasn't just one day. It's been consistent the last couple of weeks.
But a deadline. Like there was a deadline where additional U.S. tariffs were going to be imposed on Chinese goods on Sunday if something didn't get done. So this was a week where we started out markets were very flat the first two or three days because of the uncertainty around some of these things. And that makes sense, right? No investor really wanting to make a big position bet anywhere or another. No. And then things started to evolve, and we get to Friday morning, and exceptional. I was in here in the office about, I don't know, quarter to six or so, and just getting caught up on the overnight events and what the week looked like. And between, call it, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning and when trading started at 7:30 in the morning, you know, we had a deal signed.
Yep.
Then we had news from President Trump through a tweet that the reporting on the deal was totally wrong. Then we had a Chinese delegation speaking about the deal, which said there was a deal. And then there was lack of detail in what the deal. It was incredible. And the markets were bouncing all over the place trying to absorb all this information. And it's a frightening situation for investors.
It's frightening that a Twitter feed can pretty move everything.
Well, we've seen that for a long
time. We've seen that for a long time. But, you know, in this particular case, we've got, let's face it, global superpowers making choices on trade that has ramifications throughout the globe when it comes to
trade for sure,
and stock markets.
For sure. Now, you know, the good news is that there was actually some progress in reducing some of the confusion. So when I was watching the trading on Friday, you know, wild again, but the market had throughout, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday started to price in the fact that they were getting towards a phase one deal, right? We actually did have in principle a phase one deal signed. The devil's in the details, and the markets were trading around that a little bit. But again, at the time of recording this, what we saw is, again, generally kind of flat.
Yeah.
There was a bit of profit taking at one point, but generally kind of flat. So, you know, depending on where the markets end on Friday, you could be fully priced. You know, we could have priced in properly what that deal meant. Or, you know, next week as we get some further detail on this, you know, you could have some trading around the fact that, well, it's not quite as good as I expected it to be. Or maybe it was a little bit better than I expected it to be. I mean, depending on, you know, on whatever your thesis was, right?
Yeah.
But it was really fascinating to watch that. Now, having said that, there was a bit of uncertainty taken out because we did actually get some progress.
Yes.
Okay. We had the UK vote, and we had a majority Conservative government now has the ability to press forward with Brexit, and Boris Johnson ran on a very specific mandate. As far as I'm concerned, that was a vote, a referendum vote on Brexit.
Oh, it turned out to being exactly right. That. And now there's an opportunity for the British Conservative government to potentially get this thing through the House in before what? Christmas.
Well,
It's possible.
Let's go with the end of January. But even having said that, the devil again is in the details. So Boris Johnson, although saying, no ifs, ands, or buts, we're out at the end of, call it January, there's still the ability to extend if he needs to negotiate certain details around the exit, right, or take more time on that. So we'll see. But you did see the British pound, as an example, rally against all international currencies on Friday as some of that uncertainty was removed from the system.
Wore off, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that was interesting. The U.S. Fed probably, no expectation of a rate change, prior to the meeting, and there was no rate change. Maybe a little bit more dovish in terms of their communication, saying that they are effectively forecasting that they're on hold for all of 2020. That was probably a little bit more dovish than what some market participants expected. You saw a little weakness in the U.S. dollar, and Bank of Canada is still on the sidelines, and we saw some strength in the Canadian dollar relative to the U.S. So all in all, you look around, and it was an interesting week. I'm hopeful that next week we don't walk into, a devil in the details on the U.S.-China trade thing that, ruins everybody's Christmas. Okay, because it's one, like you said, we're one tweet away from, ups
well,
and
that's
downs,
right. And I want to see the Santa Claus rally continue.
Yeah, that's right. It is good. And let's talk a little bit about that, because as we move into 2020, it's interesting. We just talked about all these big political environments. I was doing some reading and taking a few notes, prior to doing the show. And I think what investors are going to have to start pondering as we move into 2020 is, could the rally in equities continue? And is it overdone? Is it baking in unrealistic expectations? Typically we have to go to the fundamentals of profitability and so on and so forth, right?
Yep.
Dividend payouts to determine where equity markets should be. What's the interest rate policy backdrop that we're going to be pricing these things in, right? So there's a bunch of decisions to be made.
But as uncertainty comes off within the marketplace, so let's just take a position right now that, we've got Brexit somewhat covered at this point in time, because you do have a majority in the House, so they can do something. If the U.S. and China continue down their path, the expectation is there will be some sort of trade deal, whether that's this year or next year, but there should be something.
Right.
If we think about those things, is there a potential for the market to move at a higher rate, because we've taken some of those uncertainties that we've seen over the last couple of years out of the market and drive things forward? Because the market isn't terrible right now.
No. And there's a lot of fear out there. I said, I was writing some notes here. I said, we're not in the recession camp here. You could also say that maybe in general, the market's been a bit optimistic about what profitability might look like in corporations.
Well, and so have we pushed that number up now, and which point it stays or it hovers where it's at, and they have to see some new data that's going to drive it further.
Right.
Whether that be employment data staying strong, or maybe we see some wage growth to try and push that forward, because ultimately when we look at the U.S. market in particular, the consumer is king. And so
for sure,
ultimately without that consumer with the dispensable income, what are you going to do? You've got to have that pour back into the market. Without that,
well, that's been the strongest pillar.
It has,
right, of economic growth in all the developed world, not just in the United States and Canada, but all developed countries. The consumer has done their bit, in large part, and companies, due to a lot of the uncertainty that we've had, corporate spending and investment has been weak, and we've seen manufacturing. In fact, you might even argue that manufacturing worldwide is in a recession. We've got a manufacturing recession. The question is. Mm-hmm. 35 central banks at this particular point have stepped in, led by the Fed, not the Bank of Canada. Interest rates have come down, right? There's this mini quantitative easing going on with bond buying and so on and so forth. And will there be green shoots that come out of that? And that's a very active debate right now. So, you know, I'm not sure we have the data to support one way or another, but there are some things that we need to be pondering as investors and as portfolio managers going into 2020, given the, you know, the strong results that we've seen this year.
Absolutely.
Okay. All of this stuff has to be put into a structure and into a strategy that supports specific goals. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. I mean, in large part, when we do our monthly seminars, right, we're talking about, I mean, we're speaking to an audience that is transitioning to or living in retirement, but really we're speaking about a framework of how to take all of this stuff, right, and structure properly, given that we don't know what the outcome is going to be. There's no crystal ball that says with certainty what it is.
Well, no, and I think you're right. I think the key word there is structure,
right,
and putting things into perspective. Right. Because at the end of the day, you got to look at things very carefully and say, you know, what if things happen? And how do you sort of view those things? It's not just about the investment anymore. It's about my lifestyle.
Right.
It's about, you know, what happens if I get sick or my spouse gets sick? What happens if my kids need something? There's 18 million potential outcomes, right? It's not just about pour it all in one bucket and call it a day. This is what's going to happen, and I live off the income.
And hope's not a strategy.
No, hope is never a strategy.
Right. So let's talk about that. We're going to talk about it at our upcoming seminar, right?
That we are. We're going to do that at the Hamptons Golf Club in the Northwest on Tuesday, January 21st at 7 p.m. If you'd like to join us, please give us a call at 966-8400 or register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Okay, terrific. Don't go away. We want to talk about the options and how to prepare for caring for an aging parent that wants to stay in home. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.